Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening again today and share together with you another Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day of coming to the radio microphone and preaching God's precious word. And I trust whatever you're doing today, you give us your ear and as much attention as you can to the word of God, and let God speak to us today from his precious word. I began a message on Monday on the subject of what missions will do for that local church. And we've been looking at the Bible-based missions concept that's given here in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. The principle of sowing and reaping. The Bible said in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and verse number 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The Bible said in verse number 7, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I know I've repeated this morning after morning, but please let me say it one more time. The Word of God teaches us, in the law of the harvest, we reap what we sow, we reap after we sow, we reap more than we sow, and we reap according to how much we sow. Also, we discovered from verse number 8 that there are two fields that we might sow in. We can sow in the field of the flesh, or we can sow in the field of the Spirit. If we sow in the field of the flesh, then the fruit that we'll reap will be corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, then the fruit that we reap there will be life everlasting. And again, I emphasize, that's not our own salvation. I am not saved by my sowing, but someone else will. I'm saved by the sowing of others. Somebody else planted the seed, and I had the privilege to hear the gospel and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Then we began on yesterday looking at what a missions meeting will do in that local church. I emphasize this as I travel and preach the word of God in mission meetings. I take a piece of money in my hand, hold it in one hand. I reach over with my other hand and take that piece of money and just gently slide it out of that hand and reach it out as far from me as I can. That is a concept that most people have of missions and mission programs. They see missionaries as strangers who come to our church, get our money, and go their way and do their thing. But again, I want to emphasize, a mission meeting and a missions program that honors God does not take away from the local church, but rather opens many wonderful doors of opportunity for that local church. And we studied that. We looked at it. Then we began on yesterday of sharing some things with you that the meeting will do, a mission meeting will do in the local church. And I pointed out to you on yesterday's broadcast that a missions meeting will increase the faith of the membership of that local church. Sure, it'll help the missionary, but it'll help that church member. And as it helps the church members, then it helps that local church also. And I want to move today and deal with a second thought. Not only will a mission program increase the faith of the church, but a missions program will improve the fellowship in the local church. And I want to deal with that on the broadcast today. You say, well, preacher, how is a mission meeting going to improve the fellowship in our church? Well, let me just say this today, and I wish I didn't have to say things like this, but you know, Baptist people, and by the way, I am a Baptist without an apology, and Baptist people can divide over some of the smallest issues, the most trivial things that can be imagined. I made the statement the other night, and I say it again. There's not many churches today that divide over doctrine. Most of them do not know enough doctrine to divide over. I think if you look at the church where you're a member of, how long's it been since somebody left your church over a doctrinal issue? You look back over the last 10 years, the last 20 years, and the people that have left the church, very few of them left over a doctrinal issue. They leave over such trivial things as they do not like which side of the pulpit the piano sets on. They do not like the color of the drapery in the nursery. They do not like the towels that are placed in the bathrooms. They do not like this, that, and it's just little petty trivial things that Christians leave over. They split over. They divide over. But God, in this work of missions, will help a church to improve its fellowship. Now, I ask myself the question, why would a church divide? Why would people leave a church over such trivial things as I just mentioned? And I believe I know the answer. You see, the answer is they do not have anything any more important on their mind. When you realize that the world's going to hell and their blood will drip from our fingertips at the judgment seat of Christ, then these other things are non-essential. I'm not talking about compromising any doctrines. I'm just talking about little petty preferences that have caused people to leave the church and go somewhere else down through the years. And what happens in a mission meeting, there's three things that will improve the fellowship of that local church and improve the fellowship among the people in that local church. And I want to deal with them as God directs us on the broadcast today. Let me say to you, the first two are a simultaneous working of the grace of God in the life of the people. Missions, number one, missions in a mission meeting where the Word of God is taught and missions concepts are given from the Word of God, that will destroy a selfish spirit. Simultaneously, inseparably, it will also develop a sharing spirit. You see, you cannot have a missions program that will honor Christ and reach the world and be selfish. You cannot have a mission program that will honor Christ and reach the world without learning to share one with the other. You can't have it your way. You cannot do it by yourself. And so as the Word of God is preached, and as the burden of missions is presented, then God begins to work in the life of the people. You see, when the truth is revealed in a mission meeting, there are over 6 billion people now on planet Earth, and the majority of them are lost without Christ, going to hell. And if our generation does not reach them, then their blood will drip from our fingertips at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll stand before Him with their blood on our hands. And when you realize that, then my friend, that becomes priority number one in your Christian life. And that becomes priority number one in the church's life. And so when you get your mind focused on the responsibility, there's a world out there that's lost. They're headed to hell. And God commands us in the Word of God that we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When we realize that, then we recognize we cannot do this by ourselves. We need each other. We need to work together. We need to labor together. You see, even at the church, I can't have a church but my own family. My family just is not sufficient to have a church. But I can bring my family, somebody else bring their family, and another family come, and another family come, and together we make up the church that can honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that concept is recognized in the life of the people of the church concerning missions, they realize, I cannot do this by myself. I cannot support missionaries. I cannot go into all the world and preach the gospel by myself. I need some help. And so I will do my part. The other families do their part. And together we can have a missions program that will honor God and reach the world with the gospel of the grace of our God. So as we look at the work of missions and a mission meeting, we find, first of all, that a mission meeting will increase the faith of that local church by the expounding of scriptures, by the experiences that are shared, and by the expressions of satisfaction. Then we find that a mission meeting will improve the fellowship of that local church by destroying a selfish spirit, by developing a sharing spirit. And then also in the work of missions, as the sharing spirit is developed, there becomes a steadfast spirit that is developed in the life of the people. And so it improves the fellowship of that local church. Now I want you to notice a third thing on the broadcast today. Not only will a mission meeting improve and increase the faith of that local church, It will improve the fellowship of that local church. But may I say to you, thirdly, that a mission meeting that is Christ-honoring will ignite a fire, the flames of revival in that local church. I've saw this happen many times. I preach about 60 meetings a year. Between 45 and 50 of them are mission meetings. And as I go there and preach mission meetings, I see revival fires break out in the life of the people, and people be saved by the marvelous grace of God. I do not know where we got the idea that a mission meeting had to be a dead, dull, dry, dormant service. No. You see, when you start thinking missions, you're thinking what God thinks. When you start loving missions, you're loving what God loves. When you start doing missions, then you're doing what God has told us to in the Word of God. You say, but now wait a minute, preacher. How would a missions meeting fan the flames of revival in our local church? Let me give you three things quickly. First of all, the revival fires would be ignited in the heart of the church people because they become aware of the souls that are lost. Now, I know, we know people are lost, but in a mission meeting, we're made conscious of souls that are lost. Some missionary gets up and he tells, I live in a certain town, and in that town there are a number of thousands of people, and the majority of them are unsaved. And we realize they're lost. They're lost. They're going to hell. And there's no hope for them outside the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait a minute. When we realize those people who do not know the Lord are lost on the mission field, then it makes us conscious of the fact that our neighbors are lost, our friends are lost, our families are lost, and God puts the emphasis in a mission meeting on the fact that souls are lost, sinners are lost. They're without God and without hope in the world. Then, as the missionary tells about this, he makes a statement like this. They are sinners, but God loves them, and Christ died for them. And we say amen. We realize that's true. They are sinners, but God loves them, and Christ died for them. So we not only become conscious of the souls that are lost, but we become conscious of the Savior that loves them. God loves them and wants to see them saved by the marvelous grace of God. And then thirdly, the revival fire will burn not only because we're made conscious of souls that are lost, we're made conscious of the Savior that loves, but we're made conscious of the Spirit that leads. Now, we live in a day when everybody talks about how hard it is. And I submit to you, we live in a wicked day. But that missionary comes home and he tells how the Holy Spirit directed him and called him to a field of service. He obeyed God by surrendering, preparing himself, and then going. And after being obedient to the Spirit of God, God began to save sinners. And after sinners were saved, God then united them together and formed a church. A church was born and then formed. And there on the mission field, in very adverse circumstances, God has built a church. And that church is now being blessed of God, even though it's not in America. It's somewhere else that does not have all the opportunities that we have here in America. You know what happens inside of me? Wait a minute. If God can use that missionary, that man, that family to build a work there on the mission field, he can use me to do something here for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the faith is increased, the fellowship is increased, the fire is increased as we have mission meetings. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell us about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.
It's home.